Regular listeners to this program know that NPR and National Geographic are taking a year to travel the world. We're finding out how we're changing the world's climate and how the climate is changing us. This month, we travel to the Western Pacific. Japan may make you think about sushi, or maybe even the Kyoto Protocol. That's the big treaty agreed to in Japan's former capital a decade ago. Countries around the world pledged to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions, and Japan promised to take a leading role. But as NPR's David Kestenbaum reports, Japan is having trouble.
Officially, Japan has every intention of meeting its Kyoto target. Here's Rutaro Yatsu with the Environment Ministry.
Do you really think that Japan will be able to meet the Kyoto target?
Of course, yes.
And here is Yoshihiro Iwama with the powerful industry association, Keidan Ran.
Do you think Japan will meet the Kyoto target?
I'm sure.
But on paper, the numbers don't look so good. And if you keep asking, you sometimes get a more qualified answer. Yuriko Koike was the environment minister. She's now minister of defense.
Well, we are trying our best to achieve our target. And for the time being, it seems to be a bit difficult.
Japan's emissions have increased since it signed the treaty. I go over the numbers with Rutaro Yatsu in his office at the Environment Ministry. It's hot. An assistant brings in some glasses of iced tea.
According to the latest statistics in 2005, the total greenhouse gas emissions is 7.8% increase comparing to the baseline year, 1990.
And according to Kyoto, your target was to be 6% below 1990.
Exactly.
So instead of cutting emissions by 6%, they've grown about 8%. That adds up to a 14% problem. You might think that if any country could meet its Kyoto target, it would be Japan. The country has a strong tradition of conservation, and Japanese culture places a high value on keeping promises. So it would be politically awkward for the country not to meet the targets it agreed to on its own soil. What's gone awry? Yatsu takes out some charts, which show some good news. Take big industry, steel, cement, auto manufacturers. Taken as a whole, the industrial sector has actually reduced its emissions 3% since 1990. But emissions from the commercial sector, things like new office buildings, are up 44%.
It's a very difficult task for us because there are so many, many buildings now constructed throughout Japan.
Japan had pretty low emissions per capita when it signed Kyoto. People tend to live in small houses, there's not a lot of land, and they drive small cars. But now emissions from cars and transportation are up by 18%. Home emissions up 37%. Yatsu says that's because more people are living alone and people have more appliances. There are limits to what the government can do about that, but it has launched an ad campaign called Team Minus 6%. The title itself assumes an understanding of the Kyoto Protocol. This ad features a conversation between a microwave oven and a rice cooker. Take home message, unplug appliances when you're not using them. The campaign also urges people to use their own bags at the supermarket instead of plastic ones. You might think that environmentalists would applaud, but Iida Tetsunari feels like it's a distraction.
It's a nonsense.
Tetsunari directs the Institute for Sustainable Energy Policies in Tokyo. He says the government's campaign reminds him of one from World War II.
During World War II, Japanese people are obliged to prepare for the U.S. Army using a bamboo sword or something like that.
A bamboo sword?
Yeah. So this is a kind of the bamboo sword in 21st century.
Tetsunari says Japan needs to get serious about big, tough topics like energy policy and invest in ways to generate electricity without generating carbon dioxide. Right now, the budget for renewables is small, he says. Japan does get about a third of its power from nuclear reactors, which don't produce greenhouse gases. The government would like to build more, but it's a hard sell here. People are uneasy about it. A big earthquake in July knocked a major reactor complex offline. Tetsunari says if Japan really wants to meet its Kyoto target, it will have to buy credits from other countries that have cut their emissions. But the cost to offset Japan's 8% growth in emissions for the 5 years covered by the Kyoto Protocol?
Is that $8 billion? Yeah.
$8 billion is a lot.
Yeah, a lot, of course.
There is a sense in some corners here that the Kyoto Accord has been unfair to Japan. You hear this from people in business suits and this guy who wears skin-tight shorts to work. Nobuhiko Takada is a famous martial arts fighter. He competes in sometimes violent, extreme fighting events. Takada is also part of the government's Team Minus 6% public relations campaign to get people to be more carbon conscious, but he says he's beginning to despair.
I now start wondering that if this individual effort has any significance or not, because I feel as if a huge amount of garbage is thrown from the sky when I am cleaning and sweeping very hard. The reason why I think like this is that the developing countries such as China and India are the biggest carbon dioxide emitting countries. Also, the United States walked away from the Kyoto Protocol, and Canada, such a big country, also has created it.
Takada is built like a superhero, but there are limits to what even he can do. He has a kind of signature battle cry he does for fights. I asked if he wanted to do one for climate change. He offered this. Roughly translated, men of the world who are serious about climate change, come on. David Kestenbaum, NPR News.
Hey, you can hear more about Japan's attempts to reduce its carbon emissions later today on NPR's All Things Considered. To see a map showing how climate change is affecting Japan and other parts of the world, just go to npr.org/climateconnections or pick up the current issue of National Geographic magazine.